And I have to say, it's really a pleasure to be back learning with everyone. I know that unfortunately our chabura has become smaller and smaller. Number one, our dear friend Mitch Mordechai Azriel ben Esther, who was always such a major part of our learning and such a major part of our inspiration at Citibank, has unfortunately become ill. And our Divrei Torah today should be as a schus for a refuah shlema for Mordechai Azriel ben Esther, and we all daven that he should have a complete recovery. And secondly, we also unfortunately suffered a devastating loss of a dear friend of all of ours, I guess I should say a dear friend of mine as well, Tuvia Tobias Lefkovich, as all of you knew him at work. And he was really a great person, such a humble individual. And I have to say that all the years that I was in Citibank giving the shiur, I never even knew what Tuvia's position was. I knew him here from my shul. I knew him from the shiurim that we had once a month in the office, but he never disclosed how serious of a position he had. I just thought he was an employee like everybody else. And it wasn't until much later on in my relationship with him that I found out how prominent a position he held. And that just speaks to his humility. I have to say that Tuvia also used to volunteer in our shul as one of the volunteer security guards outside of the shul every Shabbos and every Yom Tov. And he did it like everybody else. And I'm just blown away by the kind of life that he led and the Kiddush Hashem that he made on Wall Street and the Kiddush Hashem that he made every time he went for an interview, and especially over the last few months when he was doing interviews from his own home. And he told me many, many times how he made a point to put his svarim behind him and to always have the interview with a shofar or a megillah or a menorah, and to impress upon others the fact that he is a religious Jew and a proud one, is something that we will very, very sorely miss about Tuvia's personality. So it's my hope that our chabura will be able to have simchas, we'll be able to talk about happy things, and we should come together to celebrate each other's great milestones. This week's parsha, Parshas Lech Lecha, Avraham Avinu, as we know, is constantly being challenged. Avraham Avinu is constantly being tested over and over again. And the Mishnah lists many of the obstacles that he had to go through. The Mishnah goes through each of the different experiences in his life that he had to overcome. And they became more and more difficult successively as life moved on. And we pray every day, Ve'al tevienu lidei nisayon. Every day in the beginning of our davening, we offer a tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God should not give us these challenges. Challenges make life very difficult for people. Everybody has some kind of nisayon, but we hope that it will be something. We hope that our challenge will be something that we will be able to handle. There's a very beautiful, powerful insight by the Imre Emes. He was one of the great Gerer Rebbes, and he said that the Pasuk says in Tehillim, HaNosein Sheleg Katsamer, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God gives snow based on the tzemer, based on the will that you have. And he explained what it means is that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts snow into our lives. And he said metaphorically that perhaps means that the Ribono Shel Olam puts difficulty in our lives. But he only does it in a way that is commensurate with the amount of wool that we have, with the amount of warmth that we have to shield ourselves from that snow. And it's long been understood and it's been accepted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives us a challenge that He knows that we can handle, or that He gave us the wherewithal to be able to overcome. If somebody is given a challenge that they cannot overcome, my father always likes to say, you cannot be held accountable for that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot hold you responsible for something that you don't have the ability to overcome. And that is a basic understanding when we talk about nisyonas, when we talk about challenges. I once saw it in a sefer, but I could not reconstruct where it was that I saw it this morning when I was preparing. But I think it's a beautiful insight. When you go through the 10 challenges of Avraham Avinu, I remember the sefer pointing out that perhaps, hi Terry, nice to see you, and thank you for getting us all together again to learn. So I once saw a number of years ago that if you go through the 10 challenges of Avraham Avinu, you'll notice that really it speaks to many different challenges that people can have throughout their experiences in their own lives. So number one, the first challenge of Avraham Avinu was Ur Kasdim, as the Medrash tells us. It's funny that this is such a famous story that children learn in day school, in grade school, but it's something that's not even quoted in the Psukim themselves. It's something that you only find in the Medrash. And the Medrash says that Avraham Avinu is thrown into the fire, into the furnace of Ur Kasdim. And perhaps that speaks to the Nisayon of Emunah. That was testing Avraham Avinu's faith. Are you really going to stand by what you believe in, or you're going to back down and give in to the pressures that are almost insurmountable all around you? That was the test of Ur Kasdim, and that is the test of Emunah that so often many, many people of every generation struggle with. Are they going to hold on? Are they going to be strong? Or are they going to just relinquish their beliefs and give in to believe like most other people in the world who are unable to have the belief in God that we have? Avraham Avinu was told, Lech lecha me'artzecha, the opening words of this week's Parsha. That was a nisayon. And that perhaps is something that really highlights the nisayon of Galus, that all of us are on the run, that all of us are not at home, that all of us have something incredibly lacking, just like Avraham Avinu. When he left his home, he left everything behind. He didn't even know where he was going. And in so many generations, Jews are aimlessly walking, aimlessly traveling, not knowing exactly where they're supposed to be going, what the end game is going to be. And that perhaps really forecasted what that nisayon, what that challenge was going to be for all of us. As we know, Avraham Avinu is then plagued with a famine, Vayihi Ra'av Ba'aretz. Avraham Avinu has this, Yitzchak Avinu has it. Unfortunately, as we know, so many people have Daigas HaParnasa, so many people struggle to make a living. And when we're talking about Tuvia, I have to say, there are so many people who have told me that over the years, they lost their job, or they had very great difficulty, and Tuvia really made time trying to help them, trying to get them back on their feet, trying to make some kind of connection for them, to figure out how he can be helpful. But again, Daigas HaParnasa is something that Avraham Avinu was faced with, and it's something that so many from his time and forward are faced with as well. We don't need to go through all the different specifics of all the nisyonas, but the bottom line is that Avraham Avinu had so many challenges, and it's something that really forecasts the lives that so many of us live. We also live with challenges, and obviously they're not on the level of Avraham Avinu, nor are we on the level of Avraham Avinu. But the way that the Mishnah describes it, when it talks about the 10 tests of Avraham, we are told, Asara nisyonas nisnase Avraham Avinu. And one of the commentaries there, the Tosafos Yamtiv, on the side of the Pirkei Avos writes, why is he referred to as Avraham Avinu here? In the Torah, he's not referred to as Avraham Avinu. Why does it say there were 10 tests that were handed over to Avraham Avinu, that were experienced by Avraham Avinu? And the answer that he explains is, because there are certain genetic makeups that we all have that are given to us by our parents. By virtue of the fact that we were born into this family, some people have this kind of gene, some people have that kind of gene, but that all goes back to who your father and mother are or were. And therefore he says that what it means when we refer to Avraham Avinu as the person who is our father who had these tests, it is that he gave us, in his great legacy that he handed over to us, he gave us the opportunity to withstand and overcome tremendous challenges. There's a fascinating comment in the Medrash, where the Medrash in this week's Parsha talks about what does it mean to be tested, and why is it that people are tested? And I often wonder, what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? Why is it that he tests people? And the Medrash says three different Mishalim, three different parables. All of them sound very similar, but the Netziv explains that each one of them highlights a different dimension of why people are tested. Number one, the Medrash says, if I were to explain it in a certain way, the Medrash says, Mashal Yotzer, imagine a manufacturer who makes all kinds of different pots and pans, all kinds of different items, and he wants to sell his goods, and there's a big fair. So he takes his goods out to the fair, and he's showing them off to everybody. So what does he do? He takes a big pot, and he bangs on the pot, and he shows everybody how loud, he shows everybody how strong it is. And that's why he takes a strong pot, and he bangs it outside in the eyes of everybody who happens to be passing by the fair, and he assumes that that's the way he's going to get customers. And so too, says the Medrash, that is why God sometimes challenges righteous people. Secondly, the Medrash says, Mashal lepishtani hazeh. Imagine you have a person who manufactures wool and all kinds of different cloths. So when he's trying to manufacture it and get it really to have its best quality, he's going to comb it out and keep combing it and banging it until it's going to be purified, until it's going to be a real commodity, until it's going to be as valuable as it could be. And the Medrash says that is the same when it comes to nisyonos. And finally, the Medrash says, imagine you have a farmer. The farmer needs to do work on the field, and he has to put the clay machresha, he has to put all of the different items that need to be used to do that work on the back of the animal. Well, which animal is he going to choose for the work? Obviously, he's going to take the strongest of those animals, and that is the one that is going to be singled out to do the work on the field with all the heavy load on its back. And the Medrash says that this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to challenge different great people in the generation. The Netziv explains what it means is that there are three different dimensions to having a Nisayon. Number one, he says there are some people who have a Nisayon because the Ribono Shel Olam, because God wants to show the world how strong His people are. And He takes them out like that manufacturer who takes the strongest pot out into the fair. And He says, let me show everybody. Let me show you how I could test this person. I can give them this kind of challenge and that kind of obstacle. And look, they are going to remain strong. They're going to hold it together. And as difficult as that is going to be, I will show you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how strong my people are. There's another dimension of challenge, and that is some people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants to simply make them more pure. You have an elevated soul, you have a pure personality, and the Ribono Shel Olam says, if I just comb this through one more time, if I bang that wool one more time, it will only become more valuable. It will only become more of a commodity. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes says, I have such a beautiful personality, let me make them slightly more perfected, slightly more beautiful. And perhaps that is why some people are challenged. And the third, says the Medrash, is that there are some people who carry the weight of the generation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs somebody to do the work. The Ribono Shel Olam needs somebody to hold the load of the generation. And perhaps it is that individual that is doing a favor on behalf of all of us. And I always share this medrash when I talk to the advisors in Yachad, actually, who are dealing with special needs individuals. And so many of them have so many challenges throughout life, just navigating day-to-day experiences. And I always tell them, you never know. You never know, but perhaps the individual who you are helping to take care of is one of those people who's holding up the generation. You know, if you were asked one day to go quickly, as quickly as you can, they need your assistance in the White House because you happen to know how to set up an internet system and everything's failing and they're having a big program there and you know, emergency, they need your services, you would stop everything you were doing and you would go down on the train immediately to the White House. You would do what had to be done because it's a privilege to help the person who is holding up the country. It's a privilege to help the person who's running our country. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs everything, but He always has people in the way who are doing the job that needs to be done. And the same here, I always tell them, you never know. Maybe this person is holding up our generation, and you have the privilege of helping that individual. It just gives a very different perspective to when we offer help, when we offer assistance to somebody who is going through a nisayon, to somebody who is going through a challenge. It's something that we should think about. It's something that we should think about, and it's something that we pray for every day. Al tibienu lo lidei nisayon. We ask God, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to challenge us. Life is complicated enough as is without any additional challenge. We don't ask for anything more than what our plate is already filled with. And we ask that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us any challenge, it should be something that we can handle. It should be something we can handle with grace and with perseverance and with perfection. And we should all have the opportunity to overcome whatever Nisayon comes our way. That's just a thought about the opening words of Parshas Lech Lecha. One of the greatest challenges that Avraham Avinu faced was the fact that he was constantly going against the tide. You know, the German philosophers used to talk about the Zeitgeist, which means, you know, there's a certain understanding of the way people think, of the way people act, of the way they behave. And Avraham Avinu was always the nonconformist. One of his names, the way he's referred to, is Avraham HaIvri. Avraham HaIvri means, the way Chazal explained it, not just Avraham the Jew, right? Ivri Anochi means I am a Jew. But Avraham HaIvri means that he was always me'ever. He was always on the other side. Avraham Avinu was a nonconformist. The Navi Yecheskel refers to Avraham Avinu as Echad Haya Avraham. Avraham Avinu was on his own. He was singular. You ever saw the book that Rav Soloveitchik wrote called The Lonely Man of Faith? Lonely man of faith doesn't mean that he lived a depressed life and he was all alone. It's not what it means. He had plenty of friends and he was very social. Lonely man of faith means that sometimes a person of faith feels that although the entire world is thinking one way, I need to act, think, and behave and conduct myself in a very different way. And that is sometimes a very lonely experience. I can watch every news channel. I can watch Fox News and CNN and see what they're saying, what they're promoting, and I realize I'm living a totally and entirely different set of values. That is what Avraham Avinu was all about. Avram HaIvri. Avram Avinu was the other side. He was always me'aver. He was always doing something that was different. Not because he wanted to prove his point to anybody else, but because he stood up and he followed his convictions, which led him to ultimately discover the presence of God in the world. Avraham Avinu was the first one who understood the existence of God in the world. Nobody taught it to him. And the truth is, when you look in the Ramah, in the very first chapter, in the very first siman in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah writes that this is so fundamental to the experience of a Jew. The Ramah tells us, Lo yisbayish mipnei bnei adam hamalgim alav ba'avodas Hashem yisbarach. The Ramah quotes from earlier sources that one of the most fundamental principles when acting and behaving as a Jew in life is to make sure that I'm never ashamed, that I'm never going to feel uncomfortable with the way that I serve God. So I come to shul, and I happen to daven a long Shmona Esrei. Are people going to be smirking behind my back and laughing at me that I daven Shmona Esrei this long and they daven that long? Let them laugh at me. It's okay. I'm trying to connect with God, and I really don't care. It doesn't bother me. Lo yevosh adam epnei hamaligim alav. Yes, sometimes when I go to a business meeting and it's in a non-kosher restaurant and I feel very uncomfortable that I have to sit there and not really participate the way everybody else is, are people going to be snickering behind my back? Probably. Are they going to be making fun of the Jew in the room? I'm sure they will. But at the same time, the Ramah says, part of what we need to build in ourselves is the fact that lo yevosh adam epnei hamaligim alav. I should never be ashamed. I'm proud of the fact that I follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I connect with Him, that I live my life based on His set of ethics and morality and values and principles, and it's something that I'm never ashamed of. It's something that I never feel I need to answer to other people for. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Deos, the Rambam says that it's so important because Derech Briyaso Shel HaAdam, the Rambam says, the natural way for a person to live, it's just the way most people are, is lios nimshach b'deosav v'masav achareya v'chaverav. We all have social circles, and the norm is that we go along with what the society provides us with what the society expects us to do. So there are certain reactions that we're supposed to have, and there are certain societal norms that are considered to be acceptable, and the Rambam says that most people just go along with that blindly, and they don't stop to think. And therefore, the Rambam says, because it is so difficult for a person to break away from the society or from the expected social or societal norms, therefore, the Rambam says, a person has to choose very carefully who they want to be friends with, who they want to make their social circles with, because after all, says the Rambam, chances are I'm going to probably be somewhere in line with most of them. Therefore, the Rambam says, be very careful when choosing those friends. But that's so much of the challenge that the Ramah speaks to. We live in an environment that is so different than the values that the way a Jew lives. We live in a society where the values and principles of those of us who believe in the Torah are so foreign to so many of the people that we interact with. It's not because they hate us. Some of the people do hate us. But leaving those people aside, it's just otherwise upstanding people who are just living life, not hurting anybody else, and yet their values are so antithetical to the values of a Jew. And it's something to remember. Later on in the Parsha, we read about Avraham Avinu and his family, and part of his family includes Lot. And as their family is getting bigger, and as each one of them's estate is growing larger and larger, Avraham Avinu at some point turns to his family and he says, you know, I think the right thing to do right now is to separate. I think although it's very nice for our family to be having this vacation time together and that we bring all of our cattle and sheep together, I just feel that now is the time that we need to split and we need to part ways. And the reason for that is because Avraham Avinu feels that it's having a negative impact, a negative influence on his family, which is natural for anybody. It's natural for anybody to feel that if somebody is having a negative impact, it's going to, at some point, continue to impact me and my own family. And it's because I'm in close proximity to them. And that is exactly what the Rambam says here. The Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, Harchek mishachein ra, we should distance ourselves from a negative neighbor, ve'al tischaver l'rasha, and do not associate or mingle with somebody who is evil. Now that sounds like a double terminology, but it's the same thing. It says, don't spend time with an evil neighbor, and you should try to distance yourself from somebody who is not right. So what is the difference? What is being added here? Rabbi Yaakov Emden explains what it means is that these are two different things. Number one, when choosing a community, harchek mishachin ra, try to choose carefully who your friends are, because all of us are impacted and influenced by the people around us. But let's say I have a set of friends, and those friends over time change. Those friends over time are not the same as they were when we first became friends with each other. Now the Mishnah says the second challenge is, do I have the strength to stand up and say that although I knew you for the longest time, and we started off our relationship in a certain way with a certain premise and a certain set of understandings, now things have changed. And now, al tischaber l'rasha. Now I'm willing to pull away and say, you know, this is something that I don't want to be a part of. It's something that although I feel a part of this chabura, a part of this close-knit friendship and relationship, I have the strength to stand up and say, I'm going to stand my own, and I'm going to be who I want to be. The Pasuk writes in Sefer Mishlei, Holeich el chachamim yechkam. What does that mean? It means somebody who goes to a wise person will become wise. What does that mean? Is that magic? Is that osmosis? I just hang out with Albert Einstein, I'll become a genius, I'll become a brilliant scientist. Is that really true? I'm just going to become an innovator? It doesn't work that way. I have to invest in my own time. So what does it mean? The Medrash writes on that pasuk that what it means is, Masha l'misha nichnas l'chanusa shal bosem. Imagine you have somebody who goes into the shop where they sell perfumes, walking around the store, and he's looking at all the different items. In the end, he doesn't even purchase anything. It's way beyond his budget. But as he walks out, Yotze Berecho Nodef, he smells beautiful. Why? Because he spent time in something, in an environment that is beautiful. On the other hand, you have somebody who spends their time being a garbage collector, although it's a very important job. When they come home, they're still going to smell like that. Why? Because the whole day, this is what they've been busy doing. Now, again, obviously it doesn't bother them, because over time, it can't bother them. But writes the Medrash that that's what it means, Holech El Chachamim Yechkam. And that's so much of what Avraham Avinu teaches us. Lech Lecha Me'artzecha Mimoladetecha. Sometimes we have to know how to separate. Sometimes we have to know that although we may have been brought up with a certain set of friends, of personalities, of communities, a certain set of understandings, sometimes we have to take a step back and ask ourselves once again, is it still with the set of values that we started with? Is this still something that I'm comfortable with? And if not, do I have the brave self, do I have the courage to stand up and say, this is not for me? And I was thinking, you know, one of the great Bali Machshava of our generation writes, Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler, in the Sefer Michtab Eliyahu, he says, you know, for those who have children, they work so hard to make sure that the environment for their children is one that is a positive one. And you try so hard, and you negotiate for your kids in school, and you try your best to make sure your kids have a positive and good environment. And he says so often they forget that it's important for an adult to also be surrounded by a good environment. It's not limited to our children. It's something that adults need to focus on as well. Obviously, when we read the story of Avraham Avinu in Parshas Lech Lecha, it's an opportunity for us to highlight one of the hallmark characteristics of his life. So the Gemara says in Maseches Sota, if you were to have a bookend of all of Torah, and you were to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, what is the Torah all about? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you. You look at the very beginning, and you look at the end. And with that, you will understand what Torah is all about. And what is that? Torah Tchilasa Gemilas Chasadim V'Sofa Gemilas Chasadim. The beginning of Torah, as the Gemara mentions, is all about Gemilas Chasadim. As the Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. That was the greatest chesed that one can ever imagine. Outside of that, he creates Adam and Chava. Then he sees that they need clothing, and he provides everything for them. That was the great chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The last act of Gemilas Chasadim is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah buries Moshe Rabbeinu. Do you think nobody else was available to bury Moshe Rabbeinu? He had no followers, 40 years in the desert, leading the Jewish people. Nobody was willing to step up. Of course they were. But God said, I'm going to do this. Because I want to show the world, I want to show the Jewish people, that Torah is all about Gemilas Chasadim. That is the bookend. That is the theme. It's the objective of all of Torah, is to try to train ourselves to become gomlei chasadim. So much so that the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos that there are three behaviors, three hallmark characteristics of the Jewish people, and that is number one, rachmanim, baishanim, v'gomlei chasadim. A Jew is supposed to be somebody who has rachmanus, who has mercy, who has compassion for others. We're supposed to be baishanim. We're supposed to be people who, doesn't mean that we should humiliate ourselves, but it means we should be people who are embarrassed when something goes wrong. We should be embarrassed of the fact that we have done something wrong and it has been exposed. But finally, the Gemara says, the hallmark characteristic of a Jew is gomlei chasadim. And that's why the Gemara tells us, if you want to follow in the ways of God, acharei Hashem elokecha teilechun, if you want to follow in the ways of God, the way to do that is by being a gomel chesed, which is what Avraham Avinu's life was all about. There's a beautiful pasuk in Tehillim where we say, Hashem tzilcha, which means Hashem is our shade. God protects us. But the Baal Shem Tov said perhaps what Hashem tzilcha also means is God is not just our shade, but God is our shadow. So when I go like this in the moonlight, when I do this, everything is going to be reflected on the floor. The shadow is going to also pick up every movement of my hand. And perhaps, writes the Baal Shem Tov, that's what it means, Hashem tzilcha. God is our shadow. When I go out of my way to help another person, Hashem tzilcha, God will do the same kind of activity for you. God will be there for you, and that is the greatest way to think about the chesed that we do, or the chesed that we should be doing, is Hashem tzilcha. It's an act of help for others, but it's the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges how much He will help us as well. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, one of the great Gedolim in the 1700s, points out that every day we say in the end of the first bracha of Shemona Esrei, Magen Avraham, that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being the one who protected Avraham Avinu. Writes Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz that we say that every day, and we ask in turn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protect us as well, the same way He protected Avraham Avinu. But he says, perhaps the only way we have a right to make such a request is if we're also willing to say that I want to live a life like Avraham Avinu, that I want to be the Baal Chesed that Avraham Avinu was. And if that's the kind of perspective that I have about life, if that's the kind of gisha, if that's the kind of attitude that I have toward others, then I have a right to stand up and say, Magen Avraham, the same way you protected Avraham Avinu, I want you to protect me. You see, what was great about Avraham Avinu was he looked after other people. And therefore he was able to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, I gave my life for others. I helped them. I expect you to help me. Says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, it's something to think about every day as we say the first bracha of Shemona Esrei, to rededicate our efforts in our thoughts about how we can help and how we could engender a sense of chesed in the community and in all the interactions that we have. A little bit later on in the parsha, we're going to end in 2-3 minutes. A little bit later on in the parsha, Avraham Avinu is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Habeit na hashamayim usvar es hakochavim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Avraham Avinu, go out and look out into the sky and you'll see all the stars out in the galaxy. Ko yezaracha, and God says, so will be your children. What does that mean, so will be your children? The Mefarshim struggled to try to figure out exactly what it means. The Radak, who was one of the great commentaries on Chumash, explains that what it means is that in the days of Mashiach, we are going to have such a power that nobody will be able to get in our way. The same way we can't get in the way of any of the galaxies, they do what they do, and whatever we try to do to hurt them or to get in the way of their light or their bright shine, we can't really change it at all. The Radak says, really, this is prophetic. It's talking about what will be be'acharit hayamim, in the end of the days. But that's obviously not the simple understanding. Other Mefarshim on Chumash explain what it means is the following. The same way that every star has its own strength and projects its own light, so too Avraham Avinu was told, Ko yezaracha, that every single individual has the ability to project their own light and to bring strength to the world in their own way. Every individual has a major contribution that they have the ability to make. And that is what Avraham Avinu was told, Ko yezaracha. Every single human being has a mission. Everybody has something positive that they can bring to the human experience in this world. That's why God put us here.
And Avraham Avinu was told back then in his first conversation with God, Ko yiyez aracha, so will be your children. They will be able to recognize that strength. They will be able to bring forth that light into the world, into the experience of their own lives, and to enhance the lives of others as well. Which is what the Ramchal, one of the great Italian Jewish philosophers in the 1700s, writes in his opening words of the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim. What is the job of every person who lives on this earth? What are we supposed to do? Sheyizbarer v'yisames etzel ha'adam ma chovaso ba'olama. That I should think deeply for myself, introspectively. What is my duty? Why am I here? God put me here. It means He wants me to do something. It means He wants me to accomplish. So what does He want me to accomplish? And that is our lifelong mission. That is what all of us are supposed to try to strive to do. And one final thought on those words. Ko yiyez aracha, Rav Meir Shapiro, actually his yard site was yesterday. He was the founder of the Daf Yomi movement, a great activist in pre-war Europe. Just an unbelievable personality. And Rav Meir Shapiro once commented, what does it mean, Ko yiyez aracha? Habed na hashamayim, look at the sky and count the stars, and so will be your children. Said Rav Meir Shapiro, counting the stars is a human impossibility. So what was Avraham Avinu told to do? Well, God was promising him, Ko yiyez aracha, your children will always reach for the impossible. Your children will try to do exactly what you're doing. They're going to try to count the stars even though they know that it's impossible, but they will reach for the stars and they will do their best. And Jews have always tried to do that. Always tried to do something that seems impossible, that others in the world have laughed at, that others have said will simply never happen. But that is the gift that Avraham Avinu gave to us. It's the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu in that very first conversation. Svar HaKochavim, count the stars, V'ko yiyez aracha, and so your children will be. That is the way they will conduct themselves. That is a charge for all of us, as given to us by Avraham Avinu, to push the limits, to always try to strive for more, to always try to think about the impossible, to dream about the tomorrow, and to figure out how we can help bring all of our talent, bring all of our worth and all of our value, all of our shine as the Kochavim shine, to better enhance our community and the world as a whole. So thank you again, Terry, for putting the shiur together. Thank you, Kalman, for arranging it as well. And welcome back to everybody. It's nice to see your faces. I see Terry at least is in his office. I don't know about everybody else. But